our youth team slips down to their place, we'll let our children slip out to the Discovery Club. It's kindergarten through grade 3, if you're in that age group. And our teacher's ready for you, and want to teach you about Jesus. It's a wonderful opportunity. I'll tell you one of their stories after they get gone, so I can't tell it till they're out here. This is cool. If you are a survivor of children's church, Sunday school, learning center, that genre, you know the song and the story of today's study. You sung a little song about a wee little man who climbed up in a tree because Jesus, he wanted to see it. You know that? That got ground into your psyche. Unfortunately, it is left in the category of children's tales. Let me suggest to you, in the Gospel of Luke, the account of Zacchaeus is the quintessential mark of one of two things that Jesus, the Messiah, came to do. It is that important. Now, I'm not negating the little song, so don't hear me dissing it. You go back and say he trashed that song. I didn't trash the song, didn't trash the story, but it's way more than a wee little man who climbed up in a tree because Jesus, he wanted to see. We're going to be in Luke 19 if you want to start easing that way in your Bible. As you make your way to this passage, I always like to have a little context when I open text. How did I get to where I am? Well, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. That's where he's been as Luke has unfolded this in this account of the life of Jesus. We are not very far from the cross at this place as we open Luke chapter 19. Our final section, we've put up on the screen, not to bore you with how to lay out passages, but it begins and ends with confusion. It is structured by the beautiful writing of Luke to draw our focus to the center part, in which two key things come out. Jesus demonstrates his authority to reach the unrighteous. That's Zacchaeus. And Jesus demonstrates his authority to judge because he's king. These are the two key things that Luke is laying out for us. And we're in the section that deals with this authority to deliver this unrighteous. Zacchaeus, who is here, we'll find in chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, exposes this authority capacity of Jesus Christ. And we'll spend just a moment getting to know this passage. In fact, let me suggest again, this little story summarizes a vast amount of the entire Gospel of Luke. It's brought together magnificently in this time of the Savior. And the account that Luke gives to us summarizes so much of what we have learned already. Let's begin to see the connection. That opens us to Luke chapter 19, verse 1. So if you have your Bible, that's where we are. Here is this connection between Jesus and this guy named Zacchaeus. And forget the wee little man part, because you're probably forever scarred by that, but he is little, but that's not the point. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 says, Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through Jericho. There was a man called by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. Do not let that slide by you. You need some background. In the Roman legal system, on inland tax location, not coastal, inland tax location, there were three inland tax centers. One of them is up at Capernaum. Interesting, Jesus ministered at an inland tax center. Surprise! Met a guy named Levi. Okay. The second tax center was in Jerusalem. The third tax center is, three guesses, Jericho. You guys are nailed. I've never gotten to that. So when it says he is the chief tax collector in this place, this guy is at the top of the food chain. I want you to understand it. He has numerous sub-collectors working under him. He has all the affluence, all the status, and he has given grief to virtually anyone and everyone who has come through Jericho. Do you get a picture of Zacchaeus now? Get past the wee little man trash. This guy is the kingpin in Jericho in the Roman system of taxation. This is this guy. He is extremely powerful. He would have been extremely wealthy, and he is extremely despised. If you lived in Jericho, you knew who he was, and you hated him to the core. And in fact, socialization among tax collectors, as it's recorded, was very small, typically with other tax collectors, because everybody hated him. In fact, Luke tells us here at the end of this text that he was rich. I love British humor. Do you like British humor? British humor is the mass of understatement. American humor is always overstated. Man, there was a million of them there. Well, there were three. You know, I mean, we overstate. Americans overstate everything. British understate everything. I think Luke may have been somewhat British. For the fact he was rich is a massive understatement. He is the top dog in Jericho. You get the picture of this guy? Helps you understand him, the crowd, and Jesus. So you need to know who this guy is. Look at verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Now, he heard something. Let me suggest, because social life for tax collectors was minimal, he may have well heard something from a guy who was a tax collector up in Capernaum. Name? Second time basket at.
Levi.
Levi. You guys are nailing it today. Levi. He might have heard something because, you know, word gets around. Big center. Lots happens here. But he hasn't interacted. He hasn't connected with Jesus. In fact, Luke tells us he was unable because there's this giant crowd that's following Jesus. We've picked up on that before. Also tells us he was small in stature. So he is a little guy. And he can't bust his way through this crowd. Verse 4. So he ran ahead, climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him. For he, Jesus, was about to pass through that way. Now there's a great little lesson here. We have learned before that when you come to Jesus, coming to Jesus is coming with humility. Coming to Jesus is coming with childlike dependence. Now I want you to know what you know of Zacchaeus. Do you know he's never fed his donkey? I know people who've never pumped gas in a car. They live in a social strata that they've never pumped gas in a car. Zacchaeus had never fed his donkey. He never carried out the trash. He never swept the floor. He never did anything except live at the top of the pile. You don't want to miss this. He runs ahead and he climbs a tree. This is the top dog. He's climbing a tree. I would suggest you might see in Zacchaeus, even at this early point, some humility. Some childlike dependence. He's not held back in this passage. He's dignified. Don't let the scene slide by you. He's powerful. Could have ordered people to do things. He's affluent. Luke's told us, and we know from tax collector, the guy's loaded with bucks. I mean, he's rich as all get out. But he's not clinging to his status. He doesn't cling to his wealth. He doesn't cling to his notoriety. This is an exercise. It's not an exercise of the body. when he climbs a tree, this is an exercise of his heart. He wants to be where he can see Jesus. And he's willing to put aside all the, how about the upgraded term, stuff that you think makes life. He laid it aside. And he climbed this tree so he could see. Verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today, I want to stay at your house. Now, how he knew him, Luke doesn't tell us. May have well known who he was because he would be that well known in Jericho. But obviously, he's connected with him. The point is more that Jesus is fully in control of this. And the one who is seeking Jesus is going to be found, even the one up in the tree. I'll let the picture slide by you. Massive picture. Zacchaeus pictures much of what we've read in the Gospel of Luke. Back in chapter 3, John the Baptist was proclaiming to change your life, turn your direction. Don't hold to the old things. Turn to Jesus because the kingdom of God is coming. Some of you remember that? Thanks for the nod. I needed that. What did he say when the tax collectors? You remember John or Luke chapter 3? Tax collectors came to him and said, what do we do? He told the tax collectors, don't collect any more tax than you do. Don't use your place in life for selfish self-interest anymore. Just do your job. This is what happens in Zacchaeus' life. Stop using others. He's like the guy named Levi we met in Luke chapter 5 that Jesus called to him and he laid everything down and he followed Jesus. Don't forget Levi. This is like another tax collector we met in chapter 18 who humbled his life before God and God heard him when he called. Not the other guy that was there. This is an encapsulation. This guy is not at all like the rich ruler we just met. Remember the rich ruler? Thanks for the nod. Yeah, that rich ruler, what did he do? He clung to all the things that he had. In fact, Zacchaeus, if you like pictures, is the illustration of what Jesus said. He is the camel that's going to go through the eye of a needle. Because he's not holding to anything but Jesus. Amazing picture in this little guy. See, what's impossible with men is possible with God. Even someone like Zacchaeus. What a guy. So when Jesus speaks, Zacchaeus responds. You got your Bible? We're in verse 6. He hurried down, came down, received him. I would translate that word joyously. My New American Standard translates it gladly. It's a good word. Gladly is a good word. But the word joy or joyously is a key word in the entire Gospel of Luke. This particular word is the message of the angels when they come and announce the birth of the Messiah. It's with joy. It's the thing that the shepherds received. They received great joy. This is the sound of heaven whenever a sinner repents. It is joy. This is the song of the searching shepherd, the searching woman, the searching father. It is joy. It is the theme of this book. When they gather with Jesus after the resurrection, it is with joy. When they stand and watch him rise and ascend to the Father in heaven, it is with joy. This is the theme of this book, and this is what happens in Zacchaeus' life. Zacchaeus is filled with the joy of coming into a relationship. Remember, joy is always a relationship word. It's not a circumstance word. He's in a relationship. And Jesus receives him, calls to him. He comes down. Magnificent picture laid out. Most of you are old enough to know that not all of life is smooth. Is that true? There's a complaint that arises. Got your Bible? Verse 7, Luke chapter 19. When they saw it, and that's this crowd that is around, they don't like this. Now, they like Jesus. They're real pro-Jesus. They're following Jesus. They like the miracles he does. They like the things he says, although they've put their own spin to them. We'll see more of that later. They're pro-Jesus people that are here in this crowd. But they don't like this. They don't like this scene. They like it when he cared for them, but they don't like it that he cares for... What do you want to call it? The slime ball of Jericho? This terrible person? They don't like it. It says in the text here, they begin to grumble. I love that word. It turns up in our Hebrew scripture as one of the 10 times that Israel failed God in grumbling against God. Watch that in your life when you begin to grumble. And the voice of the frog makes it sound even better. What is he grumbling? Here it is, saying, he's going to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. Again, how did they consider Zacchaeus? Very probably, he is the greatest sinner in the city of Jericho. So nobody hasn't been maligned by this guy. Most unrighteous man in town, most likely. Amazing. Well, Jesus and Zacchaeus walk, probably some disciples, probably some entourage in this crowd. And this crowd, though, is complaining. They're sneering. They're grumbling. Because Jesus is walking with a sinner that they truly dislike. But there's a confirmation that unfolds. Do you have your Bible? We are in verse 10. Zacchaeus stopped, said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, look, Lord, stop. Have my possessions given to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give them back four times as much." His actions are the result of his faith, and he's turning his life. Not in the way it's been run, but in the way that God would have it run. He has a life change because he has a focus change. He's looking to what God has for him in this Messiah. And his heart has changed. No longer is he self-seeking. No longer is he out for all the things he can get. To understand, to understand the flavor of Zacchaeus' action, in this culture, if you gave away 20% of your earnings, your wealth, you would have been considered a very generous person. If you give away more than that, you'd be considered a very foolish person. Look what he did. 50% by my math. Pardon me. Half of what he has, I'm giving away. But he doesn't stop there. He wants to make restitution, the text tells us. This is also important. In this culture, which I wish we had more of it in our culture, when you wrong someone, you not only restore what you wrong, you add 20% to it. You make it right. Get the picture? In this culture, if you wrong someone, you restore what you wronged, and you add 20% to it. You make it right. But he doesn't add 20%. That's Leviticus chapter 5 and Numbers chapter 5. The harshest penalty in Zacchaeus' culture is that of a thief. If you stole a cow, an oxen, you returned five times. If you stole a sheep, you returned four times. So if you stole one sheep, guys, quick on math, you restore
four sheep,
four times. Zacchaeus, get the picture, sees himself as a thief. He's not just going to make it right. Let me just put that all in caps. He's going to make it right to the maximum ability that he has. Everything he has is about making it right. Half of it he gave away. And the other half he's going to give four times back to everyone he's wrong. Now, from what we've painted of Zacchaeus, if we're reasonably correct, do you think he's wronged anyone in Jericho? Two people? 20 people? 20,000 people? He's got some giving back to do. He's going to make it right. He's going to do exactly what Jesus said back in chapter 12 and verse 33. Sell your possessions, give to charity. Make for yourselves treasures, money bags that don't wear out. Thieves don't get them, moths don't eat them. They're good all the way to heaven. This is Zacchaeus. Get the picture of this guy. Amazing guy. Back to your text, verse 9. Jesus said to him, this comment that Jesus makes, watch your text, is in the third person. So he's not speaking to Zacchaeus per se. He's speaking to the disciples and the crowd with him. Look at Jesus' comment. Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. He's exactly what Jesus came to do. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, presented it to the nation, called to change their focus, change their life. Being a sinner doesn't keep you from God. It opens the door for his mercy. God's mercy is open to anyone who comes to him, anyone who puts faith in God's provision, which is the Messiah, which is Jesus. And just like Abraham, he believed God, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. He's not a faultless person. He's a faith-filled person. Understand the difference. Abraham was not faultless. He was a faith-filled person. So is Zacchaeus as he turns to God. God's promise has come. God's provision has come. And it is in this Messiah. And this Messiah is Jesus. Zacchaeus has put his faith in this. This is the picture Luke is painting for us. He has opened his heart and changed his ways. And this provision has touched his brokenness, his sinfulness, his selfishness. His lifestyle has been altered. And he has a relationship now with the Father in heaven through the Father's provision, this Son. And he's going to have a relationship with other people because he's going to make it right with those around him and not use them for all he wants. Now, who again is Zacchaeus? Don't forget. He's the top sinner in Jericho. He is the worst person you can think of. You wouldn't say it because we would never say this thing, but you cussed him under your breath because of what he did to you. You know Zacchaeus. And God knows him too. And God makes provision for this man. Many of those around Jesus think that if I have the right heritage, I have a relationship with God. If I have done the right things, I have a relationship with God. Did you put money in the offering plate this morning? You think, well, I put some money in. That gives me a relationship with God. No. Nothing gives you a relationship with God save faith alone. This is what he did. He put his faith in God. Many today think that they do things or don't do things, you know, whatever you call it, the nasty nine, sinful six, dirty dozen, you've avoided them. You have a relationship with God. No, this is not true. Many do that. They're wrong. No bad deed, no good deed gives you a relationship with God. What gives you a relationship with God is faith in God's provision. That provision is his Messiah. His Messiah is Jesus. There is nothing more. There is nothing less. Here it is. We don't have time to turn to Ezekiel 34, but the prophet in that passage writes to people who have been caught up and abused by a bunch of false shepherds. They have been used by them, hurt by them, deceived by them. And God promises in Ezekiel 34 that he will send a shepherd who will guide his people to the things that he had for them. This is Jesus. He is filling out everything in the text I wish we had time to fill out some more. Here he is with this one, totally capable, totally caring. Why? Verse 10, the hump of the passage, got a Bible? Luke chapter 19. What did Jesus come to do? Be a good guy. No. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's you, and that's me, and that's Zacchaeus. That's anyone who will turn to him. Anyone who turns to this Jesus, he comes to save. Brings restoration, brings new life. This is laid out before us. This parable that we've read here, or story of Zacchaeus, is like the parable of much of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the searching father, the lost son, who all return, and when they return, they find grace and mercy. Here is Zacchaeus. Don't forget who he is. We've sung the wee little song too long. He's probably the richest man in Jericho, or definitely one of. He's the most unrighteous man in Jericho, or definitely one of. And yet he meets the grace of God when he turns to the provision of God, the Messiah. And his entire life is changed. We need to learn some things in this text. We need to learn things that the crowd needs to learn. The crowd needs to learn there is no one whom God can't deal with, whom God can't reach. There's no person that God cannot bring in, no matter how hated you think they are, how sinful you think they are, how vile you think they are. There is no one who cannot come to Jesus Christ. The crowd needs to learn that, and they need to apply it. There's things we need to learn from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus teaches us that when you seek God, he receives you. Isn't that wonderful? Couldn't make his way through the crowd, dropped all the stuff that he had in life, and climbed up in a tree because he wanted to get a glimpse of this one he'd heard about who's proclaiming the things of God. And he is received by him. The one who receives Jesus, we learn from Zacchaeus, is filled with great joy. The very theme of the gospel. Joy fills his heart. This one who puts his faith in Jesus is transformed. His whole life changes. He's a new person with a new life. And he sees the world differently. And he sees people differently. And begins to function differently. And no, he's not flawless, but he's put his faith in the one who redeems. We need to learn some things in our text from Jesus. He receives sinners. What sinners? All sinners. He received me. He receives all sinners. He's God's Messiah. He has made the promise and he brings it to reality. His ministry and the ministry of his disciples, that takes us to Luke's second volume, Acts. Did you get my plug for that? You didn't miss that, did you? In the second volume, Acts, his disciples carry the message of salvation, redemption, forgiveness to all of mankind. There's no one out there who's too hopeless. There's no one out there who has made such a terrible mistake we can't come to this Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I love this text. That the grace of God is for the most broken, most vile, the most despised of all. It also teaches me that if I am to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I need to associate with, some of you won't like that, I need to interact with, I need to talk with, I may need to be with, those who are unrighteous. I cannot live in a holy huddle and walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Can't do it. You have to invite a sinner out of a tree and say, I'm coming to your house and have dinner. Probably smokes. Could have booze in a cabinet. What do you consider bad? That's how tight you thread your socks on. Some people I know have threaded ankles. They go on, they're screwed on, they're that tight. You need to associate with some people if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus associates people. He is in the world, but he's not of the world. And he brings that message to these who are broken. Because Jesus is calling any and all in every place here in Jericho to put their faith in him. Trust him. Follow me. Let me say, on the authority of this word, that wherever you find yourself this morning, whatever you've struggled with, whatever you think you've done, whatever you think you've broken or been hurt or hurt others, there is nothing that Jesus Christ cannot deal with. I love this text. Let me read to you. You can turn if you want. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. It'll be on the screen. This wonderful message from the Apostle Paul. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Whoever puts their faith in this Messiah, this Jesus, will not be disappointed. It won't happen. Look at verse 12. There's no distinction, Paul says, between the Jew or the Greek. He's the same Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call to him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wonderful, wonderful message. This account of Zacchaeus here in Luke's gospel is possibly the most powerful of these two key things in all of the gospel of Luke. For Jesus has authority to save, deliver, redeem the unrighteous. Zacchaeus, at the top of that ladder, he reaches to him. Remember the blind beggar we covered in the last study, how they got harassed when he came to know Jesus? He did. He got harassed. The crowd gave him a little pressure, didn't like what he did. Well, Zacchaeus is in the same boat. He's come to know Jesus, but he's sneered at by those that he's around. They don't like it. But neither of them, let me say again, are disappointed in the choices they've made. They have come to know life. Let me say to you, if you're here and hearing God's word open for you, I want you to know this same truth, that Jesus would say to you, wherever you are and whatever tree you think you're hanging, come down. I want to connect with you. Come to me. I have a new life for you. In fact, I'm headed in this gospel and in this path to die in Jerusalem for you. Wow. Whoever knew a king that died for his subjects? Not many. This is this king. This new life he has comes to all who put their faith in this. And he will travel as the story goes on. And we follow Jesus all the way to a cross where he dies for how much sin? All sin. All sin means all sin. Isn't that great? Not a thing in your life, not a thing in the vilest person you know's life that can keep them from God when they turn and seek him. I love this passage. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He may be calling to you today, your life. See, there's nothing in your life as you look at Zacchaeus from which you can't be delivered. There's nothing. Nothing in your life from anything you cannot be delivered. There's nothing in your life for which Jesus cannot provide. He provides for everyone. Everyone who turns to Him. And there's nothing in your life beyond which Jesus can't use you. As Zacchaeus, I'd love to know the rest of the story, wouldn't you? Pardon me. This guy who was the top tax collector, who came to know Jesus Christ, gave away half of what he had, took the other half and paid back as a thief everyone he defrauded. Wouldn't you like to know, where did it go? Where's chapter 2? That's heaven. You've got something to talk about. But in the meantime, you need to know this Jesus loves and provides. He came to this earth to be God's provision for all our sin. To seek and to save that which is lost. I found that when I was 30 years old. If you're here today and you've never come to know Jesus Christ, today is the day. He would say, come down. I want to connect with you. Because that's what I came for. To seek and to save. To deliver you and wherever you are, whatever you face. Let's pray. Gracious, gracious, gracious Father. We are so astounded by the majesty of this Jesus, who is not put off by who we are, what we've done, what we've said. He loves us and cares for us. Thank you for His grace. Thank you that this day, in the quietness of our heart, even as we sit here and listen to the Word of God, we can put our faith in Him. Thank you that we have a life that can be totally different, totally fresh, totally new, totally with you because of grace. And thank you for Jesus. We always pray in His name because He is the name above all names. He is both Messiah and He is Lord. And God's people say, Amen. Amen.